Let's look first to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we stop and think about the Lord himself, thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord from glory. We're amazed as we contemplate and look back, think about what he went through upon this cross of Calvary, the one who was made an offering for our sins, the one in whom had left glory and was willing to do your perfect will. Father, as we read thy word, may you point out more about your beloved Son to us. We thank you in his precious name. Amen. John 19. We were picking up at verse 17 the last time that I was with you, and we have been looking at a survey of the cross of Calvary, pointing out that this hour, this time, although it was cumulative of more than just 1 hour, but meaning his time, this is his hour, this is his time, the time upon the cross, is the most significant time in the history of mankind. The hour of the Lord Jesus Christ, the time of him on the cross of Calvary, where he would say, "It is finished." And he gave up the ghost. And yet the grave would not hold him, we will see in later verses. "If he is risen," they would say, "he is risen." Now in John 19, looking still at the survey of the cross, giving a little overview of the things that happened upon the cross of Calvary. Here as we consider this survey, let's look at four specific circumstances. First, today, let's look at the uniqueness of the book of John and how it points out this time upon the cross. Beginning with verse 17 and 18. Notice here, "And speaking of the Lord, and he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. For they crucified him and two other with him on either side one, and Jesus in the midst." Did you notice here that there is no mention of that one that's been noted in the other Gospels called Simon of Cyrene? There's no mention of him, he being the one that bore the cross of the Lord Jesus, as the Lord, as the scripture points out in the other Gospels, had the walk to the place of the crucifixion with that cross being borne on his back. And one of the soldiers brought this one, Simon, over to the Lord to take this cross to carry a portion of the way. Well, there's no mention in the book of John of this one, Simon. I believe that's because the book of John has the theme of the deity of Christ, showing how that Christ is God himself. You see, there was no mention of anyone else in the book of John bearing that cross. Each of the Gospels show Christ in a different aspect, teaching us a little something different about the Lord. Here in the book of John, we see him as the God-man, God in the flesh. There's no mention of anyone else carrying the cross in the book of John. But note with me also, there's an application here. When we think of the cross, we can see it representing the load of our sin. And here we see the great substitute. Christ did not need a substitute in that respect because he, the one who knew no sin, was made sin for us. But yet we do need a substitute. We needed Christ to be the one, to be that very one to come in to be our sin bearer, to take our sin, as it were, as in the Old Testament, to take it outside the camp, and to be that one to go out in the wilderness to be seen no more, to take our sin away. He is our sin bearer. He is our substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider how this one Simon must have felt that we read in the other Gospels, that had an opportunity to carry that cross part of the way. In hindsight, think with me, what would that be like if you were Simon and you had heard about this one, the Lord, later, and heard perhaps the Gospel, and the connection was made in your mind, this is the one whom I bore that cross. To think that this is the very one that died for me. What an effect that would have had upon the mind of an individual. This is simply amazing. Put yourself in the shoes of Simon of Cyrene. And then think also, as we read those two verses, of how unique it is in the book of John that here, in verse 18, it says, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. There's no mention of anyone else specifically. It just mentions two others. We know that there was three crosses, Christ in the midst. But here, it does not mention, as in Matthew, it says there were two thieves. In Mark, it says two transgressors. In Luke, it says two malefactors. But in John, there's no description of these two others. We see that the emphasis is on Jesus in the midst. We should only think of the Lord, and He is the one emphasized here. Yes, there were two malefactors, thieves, transgressors, call them any of these descriptions, but what we emphasize or see the inspired Word of God emphasizing to us in the book of John is Jesus in the midst. What a unique application we find here in the book of John. Well, as we consider these things, think with me of those two thieves, one on either side of the Lord. That represents mankind. One turned to him and was told that he would be that day in paradise with the Lord. The other one continued to reject the Lord. This represents the mixed multitude of the world, those that will be with the Lord in paradise, those that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and then those that have rejected the Lord that will suffer an eternal time, the eternal future and eternal destiny, absent from the presence of God. What a difference. And is seen by those on the left and the right, crosses with Christ in the midst, both within an arm's length, if you will, of eternal salvation, yet only one was promised that. One repented, one acknowledged his sin, the other rejected the opportunity. So we see here the uniqueness upon the cross of Calvary pointed out through the book of John. As we consider these things, let's think also of how there is a great comparison mentioned here. Verses 19 to 22. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now, if we read on farther, we see how it was in three languages. And we see how that Pilate refused to change what he wrote. The people said, put on there, he said he was the King of the Jews. Now, this is an interesting thing to think on, too, as we consider the survey of the cross. There were four different renderings, if you go to the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In other words, if you look at all the Gospels, you can find the full title of what was mentioned. But what I'd like to point out to you is there were three languages, Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. I mean, if you walk by, regardless of what nationality or what background or what language you spoke, there it was written, this is the King of the Jews. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many would have read it. Many would have gone by. Many would have been there to witness that sign upon his head or over his head. You know, there's many people that are passerby today and have no excuse. They have the light of the gospel given to them in one manner or the other. Where are you today? Are you just as a passerby of the cross of Calvary, and although it's being presented before you, you're just kind of passing by? The Lord Jesus Christ has died for you, and this is a serious matter to consider before the eternal God of the universe, your own sin, and to just go on and act as if it doesn't matter. The Lord has paid for the penalty of your sins. Don't go walking by as if it doesn't matter. Here we see the title of the Lord written in three languages. He was clear who he was. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Very specifically noted. Three different languages. Just think of how he was very clear in his own words. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Very clear, very distinct. This is who was upon that middle cross. As we consider a survey of the cross of Calvary today, this one we have spoken of, this one that was hanging there in the midst, that the Word of God wants us to consider, the one in whom the emphasis has been placed on, the one in whom this sign was placed over his head to describe who he was, this is the one in whom all judgment has been given over by the Father. The Scripture says that the Father has given all power, all judgment, into his hand. The hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not only your Savior. He's not only the Lord, but he is your judge. He is the one that will determine those that are on the left hand or the right hand, those that are the sheep or the goats. He knows all things, and all judgment has been put in his hand. I'll just ask you today, do you know him as your personal Lord and Savior? This one that's hanging upon that middle cross. It was not in vain. It was for a great purpose. He was fulfilling the perfect will of God, the righteous one, dying for the unrighteous. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for considering who this one Jesus Christ is. We pray that it may be of some encouragement to you. We just ask, we bow in the word of prayer, Father, that you might use this message today, that it might be to your honor and your glory. In the name of your beloved Son, we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for being with us today, and we hope you'll join us next Sunday morning at 10:15. This is Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministries.